for God taking care of us and providing for us. I want to share something today from the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and also chapter 2. In Joshua, we start out with a transition. Moses, he had died, and Moses had been the leader that had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They had been there in slavery for too long, and then Moses went down there and he worked the signs that God told him to work, and so the Pharaoh let the people go. And the children of Israel, they had been promised not only to be brought out of Egypt, to be brought into a promised land. And you may know the story. They had their, right when they came out, they sent some spies into the promised land, and the spies brought back an evil report except for Joshua and Caleb. And so the children of Israel ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But here in Joshua chapter 1, we have the end of that 40 years of wandering, and so Joshua is ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And we can read some of the promises that God gave to Joshua. And I just want to read everything, but here in verse 2 and 3, it says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." And then down here, verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and have good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers, to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Then verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And so there's some great principles here in this first chapter. I want to start by giving a little example that I heard from someone else, which is the two words you can almost say is faith and obedience, or as the song goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so this example I heard is if a person was rowing a boat or paddling a canoe, you can't just paddle on one side. You actually have to paddle on both sides if you're going to go in a straight line, if you have a destination. And so that is the comparison with faith and obedience, or trust and obedience. We want to trust God's word. We want to grow in God's word, but we also want to obey God's word. And so if we read a little bit further here in the book of Joshua, we see a couple examples of people who trusted and obeyed and how it worked out well for them. And here in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua, he decided to send out two spies to check out the promised land here 40 years later and bring back a report. Well, as it happened, these two spies, they went into the city of Jericho, which was one of the places that the Israelites wanted to capture. And so they went into this lady's house, Rahab. And Rahab, if you look it up, the different translations, some people think she was just an innkeeper, but other people would just say straight out she was a harlot, a lady of ill repute. But so but somehow these two spies came in there, and so she took care of them briefly, and so while they were in this lady Rahab's house, the king of Jericho heard about that these two spies were there, and so he sent people to go get these two spies. I assume capture them or stop them, and Rahab actually protected the two spies. She said to the men, "Go up on the roof and hide yourself," and they had just had a harvest time, and they had some flax there, and so the men hid up there, and the lady, Rahab, she said to the people from the king, the people, those two men already left. They went outside the gate just as it was getting dark. And so Rahab, whether it was good to lie or not, but she protected these two men. Maybe in war that was allowed. But so the people who were looking for the two spies, they went out and they were looking all over. And in the meantime, Rahab goes up to the roof and talks to these two spies. And you can read this. I'll paraphrase. I won't read every verse. But she makes a deal with the two spies. And she said, well, I have been kind to you by protecting you. Now please protect me when you come and take this city. And we can actually read here. I'll read a few verses starting at Joshua chapter 2, verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. And now this next phrase is very significant. He said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So Rahab, even though she lived in this city that did not believe in God, but she believed in God, she made the choice to believe in God because she said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Then verse 12. Now therefore I beg you, swear by me, by the Lord, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Verse 13. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So verse 14. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given you the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. And so they made this deal. So these two spies actually turned out to be ambassadors. They made a deal. Just like we as Christians, we can share the good news with people and invite people to receive Jesus Christ. These two spies actually made this deal with this Rahab lady and said, okay, if you will protect us and don't tell anybody, don't tell the king that we were here, besides what was already told, then we will, when we come back, we'll protect you. And so the spies said, okay, because when they left, she lived right on the wall of the city, and so she let them out by a window, and they climbed down by a scarlet rope. A scarlet is close to red and close to the color of blood. And so she climbed out, the spies climbed out of the window, and they got away, and she told them, well, go up to the mountains and hide for 3 days, and then after 3 days, it'll be safe for you then to go back to where you're going. And so that's the way it happened. So the two spies, they come back to Joshua and tell him that these people, they're afraid of us. And they said, okay, by the way, we made a deal with Rahab, who protected us, and we told her that if she'll put this rope out her window and if she'll bring everybody into her house, she will be protected. And so that's what actually would happen. So and you can read a little further, I think it's in Joshua chapter 6, about the story about how God told Joshua to take the city, and that's almost another story of obedience. You can, and so we have this little story of Rahab. She had her choice to obey what she was told, to put this red rope out when they were going to come for the city, and as we read later, she did that. But then Joshua was told how to take the city, and it sounded very unusual because most times in warfare, they would just like attack a city. You know, if you ever seen war movies, they just start bombarding the walls and everything, and then they fight their way inside the gate. But Jericho had big walls, thick walls, and so God had a better plan, and it was an unusual plan. He told the Israelites, he said, okay, you take your priests and have them go out, seven priests with seven trumpets and blow horns, and bring the ark. The ark was a symbol of God's presence that they had there in their tabernacle. And for 6 days, go around the city and have your armed men in front of the ark and those seven priests blowing their trumpets, and have your armed men in back. And by the way, while you're doing this, nobody say a word. I'm paraphrasing here. Just the priests are allowed to blow the trumpet. Nobody else say anything. So when you're not saying anything, you can't complain. And that's what they did. They did that for 6 days. And then God told them, on the seventh day, go around seven times, march around the city seven times, and the priest blowing, but on the seventh time, when you've done that, all the people shout. And so that's what they did. And when they shouted, God actually worked a miracle. We don't know it completely if it was angels, but somehow God caused the walls of the city to flatten out. And so the people of Israel, they were just able to go right inside the city and capture the city, and they were actually told to destroy the city. And you can read that for yourselves, but Joshua told the two spies, he said, go find this woman's house that you told her to put the scarlet thread out and take them out away from the city. And so this woman, Rahab, who had believed the prophet, these two spies, and made this deal, she was saved and her house was saved. And so you might say, well, how does this relate to me? And you can draw actually several good lessons from this, because just like this Rahab had put this red rope outside, a scarlet rope outside her window, then the only way that we can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't save ourselves, but Jesus can save us. And Jesus is only the only way that we can be saved. There's a verse Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus is the only way. There's another verse that says, there is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved but the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the only way that we can be saved. And then we can actually talk about Rahab's past. So if whatever she did, she might have been a woman of ill repute, but because she believed, those two spies, and believed on the Lord, she was saved back then. And today, no matter what people's past is, whatever they have done, they can still be saved if they call on the name of Jesus. And so just like when Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves next to him on the cross, and one thief made fun of Jesus. The other one said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And so every person who will call on the name of Jesus can be saved. There's a great verse in the New Testament. It says, who will have all men to be saved? And then we know that very familiar verse in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's that word in there, whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so just like that Rahab, and incidentally, Rahab is actually mentioned three times in the New Testament. As Christians, we're under the new covenant, and the Old Testament as some example are examples for us, but she's mentioned. She's mentioned she's in the lineage of Jesus, the descendants of Jesus. Rahab, she married somebody from that tribe of Israel, and I think her son was Boaz. And then we have a story about Boaz and Ruth, and then I think a couple descendants further was Jesse and then David, and then you could follow that. And she, even though she was outside of Israel, she, because she believed in God and she obeyed the instructions that were given her, she got to live, and all of her family. And that brings to another point, that just like she was able to bring her whole house her whole family, her parents, and everybody in, and they were saved when that city of Jericho was destroyed. There's another story about the whole household being saved, and that's in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 16. And you may know the story about Paul and Silas. They were out preaching, one day, and there was this girl that had a demon, and it sounded like what she was saying was good, but it wasn't from God. And so Paul commanded the demon to leave the girl and to come out, and the demon came out. And then instead of the people being happy, Paul and Silas actually ended up being put in jail. But it had a good ending, because if you read, at midnight, they were singing and praising God. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And then the jailer, way back then, if you lost your prisoners, you were going to get killed. And so he thought, well, I might as well kill myself first. And so verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we have the story from the New Testament that that jailer, that he could not only be saved, but when he believed, he could also bring his whole family in. And so that's a great verse for us to claim. If you are already a Christian, and if you have someone in your family that is not saved, you can still pray for them. You can believe for them to come into the kingdom of God. And getting back to what I started about the little boat and rowing at both sides, trusting and obeying. We want to, first of all, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into our life, and every one of us can do that. And then we want to obey God's word the best way we know how. And God is a gracious God. There is grace not only to forgive us of our sins, there's also grace to give us power that we don't have to sin. And still, at the same time, God wants us to live a life without sin. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And holiness is living without sin with God's help. And we can live a holy life in the middle of this world. We don't have to go off to a monastery or go out to a cave. We can go about our daily life and still live a holy life through the grace of God, through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. God will give us the strength and the power to be overcomers every day. And we sing that song, Victory in Jesus. And truly, every one of us can have victory in Jesus. We don't have to plan on sinning. If we do sin, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we don't have to plan on sinning. So we can trust God. And then a little point I wanted to make that we read here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so I'm sure most of the people want to have good success in their life, and we can have that as we live for God. God has promised that here in this place and a few other places. So I just wanted to read two passages that relate to planting God's word in our life. And I sometimes like to give a little example. If a doctor gave you a prescription of medicine, and even if you went and got the prescription filled and you got the bottle, but if you never opened the bottle, it wouldn't help you. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. That it's wonderful. I'm so happy to see here so many Bibles this morning. And as we take God's Word, the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so God's word is unlike anything else we can read. There is power in God's word. And as we read it, as we speak it, there is power in his word. And so here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it says, and when it talks about starts out, my son, that's referring both to men and women, because mankind refers to both men and women. So here it says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And so here's a great promise, that if we will give attention to God's word and incline our ear to his saying, to his word, and not let them depart from our eyes, and keep them in the midst of our heart, it says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And so you can, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. And so this is a good point to be made, that God's word is very powerful, and we can plant God's word in our life, and it's going to bless our life. And we have a promise here. It says, as we plant his word in our, into our life, it says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And then I want to read another place here, and this is in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It's a great promise about abiding in his word or continuing in his word. I'm reading here, I have this morning my New King James, the version. I do like using King James, but this has changed some of the these and thous to you. And so it says here in John chapter 8, verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And, you know, sometimes people want to be free from a bad habit or something that they're trying to overcome, and there is power in God's word. In Ephesians, it talks about the washing of the water by the word. And I sometimes like to think when you plant God's word into your life, not only is it going to bring good things and grow good things, it's also going to wash out the bad things. And if a person wants to be free, we can be free through Jesus Christ. We can be free through his word. And Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so that gets back. We can have victory in Jesus. It's not a difficult thing. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And living a Christian life is an easy thing compared to sin. Sin will cause stress. We don't want stress. We can avoid it the wrong time. But if we will live for God in this every day, say, God, I want to live for you. And, you know, when I talk about reading his word, that's not saying you have to do that 10 hours a day. If you will just, when you wake up in the morning, you start the day up, read some of his word and say, God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises. And then we can even pray his promises. We can personalize his promises. So I'm really blessed that everyone is here today. And I thank you for your attention. And so every one of us today, we can, like that song goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so I want to close in prayer, and then we'll sing a couple more songs. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for everyone here. We thank you that you love them with a great love, that you've got good things for us, that you have brought us out of the land of Egypt. You brought us out of a life of sin, and you brought us, you want us to possess everything that you have for us in your word. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for everyone here that they've come here, that they wanted to hear your word and to sing your word. And so, Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, we pray that you give each one of us a greater hunger to read your word, to think upon your word, to meditate on your word, to hear your word, and to plant it into our lives. And Lord, that it will bring forth good fruit, that we will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, and that whatever we do will prosper. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.